This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
An announcement from the mayor today that nobody saw coming. We'll jump into that right away. Toronto Mayor John Tory joins us right now. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Nope. We've got a bit of a dial tone over you, if we can fix that. Mr. Okay. Mayor, are you there? Hello. Okay, we're going to have to fix that in just a second. We will figure
that
out.
Was like a simultaneous hello and a hang up. That was the we really got pulled. We got punked there.
I don't even think it's a technical thing. I think he's just screwing with us again. He's like, yeah, I dropped in a big announcement today. I don't need to talk to
you. Yeah, guys, I know you can't wait to talk to me about this, but you know what? I got stuff
to wait a little longer.
Are you guys mad at me today? What's going on here?
No.
Gosh, no.
Anything.
We thought it was you.
I know how that works. I've sat in that studio. He has his hand on that button. He just said, you said good afternoon to you, sir, and then he just absolutely ditched me.
I'm in my bedroom. What are you talking about?
You think I have any control? That's cute.
All right.
It was a good story while it lasted.
Let's start off with the announcement and the sort of the change in direction when it comes to the city and the message to residents, no longer about staying at home, but to stay safe while going outside. Let's talk about the impetus for that.
Well, I don't think it has completely changed. I mean, we are saying to people that they should stay home, you know, whenever they get the opportunity, but we're just being realistic, both in terms of the stage we're at, where, you know, we're getting closer to the end than to the beginning of the pandemic emergency phase, but also the reality of the weather and, you know, just what people are doing. And so we're now saying, well, look, the focus, as it always has been, should be on physical distancing, so that when you are out, that you have to make sure you stay apart from other people that you don't live with, in parks, on sidewalks, you know, wherever you are. And that's going to be true for a long time to come. I was on a teleconference with mayors from about 35 different cities around the world today, and they're all talking about that in the context of transit vehicles and childcare and schools. It's fascinating because some of them are, you know, ahead of us in the timetable because of the fact they had the virus earlier than we did.
I'm curious about the change in messaging, and I'm wondering if, it, at least in part, it doesn't have something to do with the fact that, for the most part, I think for the most part, people were listening, but let's face it, people were congregating in parks, on boardwalks, just about everywhere that they could congregate. As soon as the weather got nice, they were. Does the city look at something like that and go, you know what, we can't keep everybody at home, so what we should probably do is shift our messaging to at least focus a lot more on that social distancing? Was that a conversation?
It is a conversation we have, but I mean, most of it was driven actually by what we felt was going on with respect to the spread of the virus and the fact that people have been really good. Like, they got much better as time went on at actually physically distancing. So yes, you're right. There were a lot of people out, say, this past weekend, as you guys pointed out on Monday, on the boardwalks and whatnot. But the difference from, say, 6 weeks ago is we had a big problem 6 weeks ago with people who were just paying no attention to physical distancing at all, and in fact arguing as to why it was even a thought in our mind. And I think people, you know, slowly but surely began to get it, began to realize that by physically distancing and cooperating, they were actually helping drive the numbers in a better direction. And so it became less of a problem. You could see that as well from the number of complaints we got, which literally went from hundreds down to the point where we're receiving a few dozen complaints now about social distancing, and the same with tickets. So I just think it was an evolution that was taking place, plus the fact that as we get to a stage where you're opening more and more stores and all this kind of thing, then it becomes less realistic to say to people, well, you know, yes, one government's opening up the stores and the other one's telling you to stay home. So I think we all, you know, talk together about adjusting the message, which still says stay home if you have the chance to do so with your own family and all that. But it says if you're going to be out, then socially distance and physically distance. And I think that's increasingly going to become a message as, you know, more and more things open.
Tell us a little bit about Active TO and the idea to make more space for pedestrians and for cyclists.
Well, first of all, it's nothing new. I mean, we said back in March and then again in April that we were working on a plan that sort of said in the post-pandemic emergency phase, since there would be more people out and about, and since, quite frankly, I think there are going to be people who are hesitant about public transit, at least at first, because they will be, you know, nervous about the health consequences of being in a place that is hopefully still physically distanced, but they'll still be worried. So we concentrated on looking for ways in which people could have quiet streets in areas where there may be a shortage of parking. plan, looking for opportunities along the transit routes to have other ways people could move around, whether it's on foot or on bikes, and have developed a plan accordingly. And so we haven't rolled it all out yet just because we're still working on it, but I did say today, for example, there will be 50 kilometers at least of those quiet streets, which will mean that you will take a street and put some things on it that will slow the traffic down. It doesn't mean local traffic can't, you know, drive to your own house and so on, but it means it'll be very slow and very limited traffic, and just local, so that it means people will be able to walk and play more safely on those streets than would be the case if we hadn't made the change.
So we've lost 10 Pearson taxi and limo drivers to COVID-19, and I know that we had lost some last week, that was the number, but we just heard about four more today. What's the conversation around, you know, should we have been more cautious at the airport? Is there something more we could have done? Was this inevitable with the amount of travelers that we've had?
Well, it's a tragedy, and you can never sort of say, well, it's inevitable, because it sounds hard-hearted, and it probably is. You know, it's interesting because it's one of those things that you don't think of as readily when it comes to all the different groups of people that are exposed to higher risk that you might, you know, think of in terms of extra considerations. But given that a lot of the cases, as you've read, no doubt, and talked about, were imported into the country, it would stand to reason that some of the people who are getting onto a limo at the airport would be, you know, people more likely than average to have perhaps be carrying the virus. And so, you know, whether, and we don't regulate the airline limousines, by the way, and I'm not trying to pass the buck, I'm just saying that it one of those things where in hindsight you might have said, well, should we have moved sooner to have those people wearing masks? Although, as you've discussed, I'm sure, with others, the mask more protects the person that has the virus from spreading it to somebody else as opposed to the other way around. So I don't know the answer to that question. It's just a tragedy, and any loss of life is very sad, but these ones are sad as well because they were, you know, serving the public and continuing to do so in an environment of elevated risk.
You had the premier today obviously talking about retail stores being open for curbside pickup on Monday. That's encouraging news, I think, for a lot of businesses out there. When it comes to the city of Toronto, he kind of described it as a tale of two Torontos. You know, you don't even have to look out of the side of the GTA, out of the bubble that is Toronto, to find different narratives going on. Etobicoke and Scarborough, those are areas where curbside pickup is a little easier. The downtown core, it's a little more difficult. Can you take us through and walk us through a little bit of that?
We're going to have to develop a plan, which we are well underway doing. I just found about it. The premier called me last evening, and we've got right to work on a plan that will make sure that we, you know, obviously facilitate the spots that are easier, like you said, in the suburbs and places like that, and other spots that are much more difficult downtown just because of the concentration of stores and the concentration of people. And we're very hopeful. We're going to use the business community, and a lot of them have experience at staying open, people in the business community during the emergency period, so they can help with lineups and, you know, things they do on the floor of the, well, they're not allowed to go in the stores yet, but just expeditious ways to organize how people pick things up. So, for example, if you ordered something from one of these stores that can now do curbside pickup, maybe they will move to a system where you have an appointment to come and pick up your package at a given time so that you don't have 200 people all converging. We're hopeful they don't have big blowout sales right now because, you know, they know that will create a crowd scene, and we don't really want that. So we're going to work with business. We're going to work with the police and the fire because they always have concerns about this in terms of access of emergency vehicles, but we're well underway in planning. And I just ask that the Premier, in all of these steps going forward, make sure he takes account of the fact we have a city of 3 million people here. It is a city that's densely populated. It's got dense retail. It's got, you know, busy streets, and, you know, on and on it goes. And he took that on board and certainly seems to understand that Toronto, and we've been more acutely affected by COVID-19 as well. We've had thousands more cases than other parts. And so all of this has to be taken into account in dealing with a unique city in the province.
When it comes to transit, that seems to be a bit of a fascination on our text board this afternoon. And, you know, you can kind of expect it when people hear announcements like this. They've got curiosities, some about civic centers, and we'll get to that maybe if we have a second at the end here. But a lot of people are wondering what this means for public transit. The idea of being on a streetcar where social distancing is very difficult. Subway, same kind of thing. Obviously, if people are outside, there is a temptation there to take public transit. What's the messaging there?
I'll tell you, don't forget, by the way, I have one report back item for a marijuana story you want to hear from me on. The answer is this. We're in the middle of what I think is the single most complicated plan that we're going to have to put forward, because obviously what we don't have is the unlimited ability to say, well, let's triple the number of trains. I mean, there's only room for so many trains in the subway. We don't have the vehicles to triple the number of buses so that we can keep the passenger count down if passengers start to come either to go patronize the stores and pick something up or to go back to work, which you hope will happen sooner. So we're having to develop develop a plan. It was interesting to listen to the other mayors and cities in Europe where they've got onto this stage a bit sooner just because they, you know, had the virus earlier, and they have limitations on how many people can get on a vehicle, sort of like we do now, like we're limiting it now. They also have things like staggered work hours. Not everybody's gone back to work. So, you know, there's a long list of things that you have to take into account in trying to make sure that what doesn't happen is that the transit vehicles become so crowded that people don't take transit because they are afraid to go on there because of fears that linger from the virus.
So, yeah, we had got a complaint at 71010 yesterday and that we've got a number of times about an illegal weed store that it was still operating in a certain neighborhood. You were able to follow up on that last night?
Well, we just passed the information on to the MLS because, as I said to you yesterday, I don't direct the police, nor does any politician, on how they go about doing their job or the bylaw people. But they had other complaints. It was interesting. When we just passed the information along from the broadcast yesterday, they'd had other complaints about that store. And so they simply indicated to us they were going to be out there. I believe they might have even laid some more charges today. I shouldn't kid about this because it's not a joking matter, but I was going to say that we sent a piece of paper and gave the bouncer that you made reference to Ryan's name. So anyway.
Oh, great. That's good. Thank you for that.
we did
so loving.
Not do that. I shouldn't even make jokes when it comes to that kind of thing. But having said that, the MLS, our licensing people, have the information. I'm told they may have been out there today because I just checked in on it before I came on the air, but they'd had other complaints from other people, and so this was not something that was unknown to them. It's one of those things where as fast as we find them, close them, charge them, they open up again, and it's been a constant problem throughout.
You didn't have to give him my name. He already knew it. I'm a great customer.
Never mind. Nothing personal.
Thank you so much, Mr.
Thank
Mayor.
You. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
See you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Toronto Mayor John
Ryan.
Torrey.
Got to give Ryan a break. He needs to answer his door. There's someone there, a very large gentleman named Tiny, wearing a mask, that wants to have a conversation.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.